The scripture passage this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. In the Pew Bibles, the ESV, it's on page 627, and on the NIV, it is page 987. All right. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights.
Morning, Water Dam. It's good to be with all of you. We're thankful for all of our graduates. You know, commencement is a special time of excitement and a new beginning for many of us. As we think about all that's going on with our church, we want to especially remember Joan Emmett. Please pray for her. She had eye surgery, and she is recovering. The doctor told her it would be a while before the eye would have complete sight, so please pray for her. She asked for prayer. She couldn't be here today because it disorients her a little bit as she's dealing with that. So please pray for Joan Emmett, and then keep our Vacation Bible School in prayer because there's lots of things to do between now and July, and there's lots of people helping. They've already started on some of the things that they're building, and so we're thankful for everybody that comes out to help with that. We also want to say that we also had graduates from Seed Ministry, the Seeds of Pod. And so the Seeds of Pod graduated several students this past week. We got to sit in on that. And it's an amazing thing because we've had them with us for the last 5 years. And I didn't realize it had been that long until Andrew was talking about it. And they did a wonderful job through their commencement service, and we were blessed to have them with us. And then they went out and had a big feast in the back. So we're thankful for Andrew and Nika's ministry over these past 5 years, and they will continue on in a way that is a little different than what they have been doing, but just as important. So we're thankful for their ministry and their discipleship, because if anything you came away from anything in that commencement service is that they were all about discipling young people, and so that they would be disciples of others. They would be discipling other people. So we're thankful for them. Thank you for your ministry. We can appreciate them with a round of applause, please. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for today. We are especially thankful that we know that you have been the provider and protector of our people, that there's no circumstances beyond your limit or your divine purpose, that we can have faith in you. We praise you, Father, for your steadfast protection. We thank you for this congregation in whom you have protected in time of war and brought safely home. May the rest of us in the battlefield of life be divinely protected from all maliciousness, from all destruction. Lord, we ask that you would guard us and guide us through this time. Lord, we thank you for all that you give us in Jesus Christ, for he is sufficient for all things. We thank you for our people. We do pray for Joan's eyes to recover. We pray for that eye, for the vision to come back to it. We ask, Lord, that you would bless her. We do pray for others that have had knee surgeries. Pray for Pastor Scott's leg to heal and for others that have had surgery. We thank you, Lord, for the doctors that care for us, for our nurses, for for our police officers. We thank you, Lord, for all that they do for us. We pray for our community. We pray for our upcoming election here. We pray that you would bless us with good people who want to serve you, who want to serve our community and do more and do better. Thank you for all of our people. Thank you for our teachers. Thank you for Andrew and Nika's ministry with the kids, of discipling them through this time, for over these past 5 years, investing countless hours, and for all the teachers that were there and a part of all that ministry. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing. We pray for our help today as we look at the proverb of Solomon for his son, that may we all be wanting this for our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we want to congratulate everybody who graduated, both high school, college, and from Seeds of Pod. I want to say it, Seeds. That's all I can know it as. And so we want to congratulate them. But at Dallas Seminary, there's a sign. And Andrew, I don't know if Andrew and Nika saw this, because Andrew went to Dallas, but it said, salvation is by grace, but graduation is by works. So I don't know if you saw that. It is definitely a work. But what we want to stress today is that God has a plan for your life, a purpose in his working in your life, that you're not just here by random chance, that God has a plan for your life. And today we're talking about the path of life. And so when we think about it, God has a plan for our life. When we think of Jeremiah 29:11, we remember that verse, right? Because it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. A future and a hope. Plans from God. God also has a purpose for my life. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. It is a life that has a path to follow. It's God's path for your life, guided by his priorities and his purposes. And so it's important for us to lock that in. I believe as Christians, we should all want to have that path. As we looked at today's verse, one of the most memorable verses, one of the most memorized verses, is part of this chapter, in chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I'm quoting the different version now. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And so a lot of times when we read this, we don't realize, but maybe there's instruction and then a promise. There's an instruction and then a promise. I'll give you an example. It says there in verses 1 and 2, it says, but my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So you have the instruction first, and then you have the promise. And in verse 2, let not steadfastness and faithfulness forsake you, and bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So there's the instruction and then the promise. So it goes down that. There's about 6 instructions and 6 principles there. Alistair Begg was commenting on this. Because when we say, when God says in his word, he will make your path straight, somebody says, well, yeah, everybody wants a straight path, smooth, no problems, none whatsoever. He said, well, what does that mean? That everything is going to go great? No, that's not what he's saying. He has a path. He has a path, and he will make it straight according to his plan and design. Now, the question becomes, if these are just bumper stickers, great things to put on a Bible verse on your mirror or on your car, somewhere in your house, or written in a notebook somewhere, where you write down and put that sticker in there because you like that verse. A lot of people have that as their favorite verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and everything is going to go smooth. That's not what we're talking about here. You have to know God. I think it's an interesting question here. Do you know God? I don't know if you know God. Wells, in his first book, and I think Alistair Begg is saying David Wells, and he says, I think the God in the world, when is the book, says the same thing. He says, a God with whom we're on easy terms and whose reality is a little different from our own, and who is mainly there to satisfy our needs, such a God has no real authority to compel and will soon begin to bore us. That is a very powerful quote if you understand what he's saying. He's basically saying you really don't know God. He's just become a friend to you. You know, he's just cozy with God, that God's not really working. See, he's saying you need to know God to compel you to do things that you wouldn't do, to trust him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, all your heart and all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make his path straight, his path for our life. So we have to be willing to submit to him. One of the questions that's always posed to people that are graduating and that we had in our own house is, would they continue with God? You know, they went to this church, they went to Waterdam Church, but would they actually go to church when they went out on their own to college? You know, at some of the colleges, they make you check into chapel. You basically have to check in so many times or you don't get credit. And so they make it as a part of your credit. And that was at Grove City, I believe. Melissa's sitting here. She's our ambassador to Grove City. But one of the things that we appreciated was that they did hold them accountable. We were glad of that. But the question is, do they know God? Will they continue with someone they do not know? Do they know God as God? Do you know God as he has made himself known? In other words, through the Bible. Do you realize what a mystery and what a wonder is that the God who is above us and beyond us is the God who comes down to us and talks to us and makes himself known to us? And that is the God that the Lord, that Solomon says we are to trust. We are to trust in that God who is self-existent. We're to trust in the one who's the creator of the universe, who sustains this world, who is everlasting. You see, Solomon's concern is the same concern that we all have for our families and for our church family. Will you continue with God? And so, as every pastor is concerned about that, about his church family, you know, you look around, and I've gotten to the point where I know some faces, and I see you, and I miss you when you're not here. It strikes my heart. Are they okay? Is something going on in their life? If I haven't seen you for a while, did I become boring? I mean, I have to be honest with you. Some of you are shaking your heads. No, I'm thankful for those people, but there's a priority here that I want you to see is that Solomon's priority is that his son would continue, that he would prioritize God's word. So if we're thinking about the path of life that God wants us on, the straight path, we should want this for our families. And he says in verse 1 there, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. I love the way he says that. I want length of days, and I want length of and years of life, and I want peace. I want all of that. And as a Christian, we should want all of that. But if it's not in us, do we really want it? I mean, if it's not in us, it's not going to come out of us, you see. Because life is not smooth all the time. And I think what he's saying to us and to his son is, don't leave your Bible behind. Psalm 119 and 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Now, we can quote that verse all day long, but if you've ever been in the dark, and times are dark, that light, that path only goes out so far. You can't see around the bend. You can't see over the hills and the mountains. You can't see down into the valleys all the time. It's like driving in your car when your high beams, you put them on so you can get more distance. But it only goes so far. Matthew Henry writes this, God's word directs us in our work and in our way, and a dark place indeed the world would be without it. He says, our Bible is a lamp which we may set up by us and take into our hands for our particular use. I love that quote. That's a powerful quote. that you can take this book, this Bible. It is the light. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. The life of Christ is in this Bible. Life is in this Bible. This is called the book of life. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. He says, your Bible is a lamp which may be set up by us. You think about a lamp that you would set up by your beds, your you know, the thing beside your bed. What do they call that? A light stand? Nightstand. Getting old. Blanking out here. I was like, can't remember anything. What is going on? But what we would say is that the Bible is there to be put on our nightstand so that it would be a lamp to us, but also something to take with us like a flashlight to help us down the path. And so he doesn't want Solomon, his son. He says, my son, don't leave it behind. Because the promise is great. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. That is actually in the New Testament in Ephesians when Paul tells the Ephesians that he says, honor your mother and father. And that your days would be long in the land. So he kind of brings that back into it. So we want this for our families. I want it for my three daughters. I want it for my son-in-laws. I want it for my grandchildren. I want it for my family. I want it for my church family. I want them to know the path of life. Because the path of life is what God works in us, that God is conforming us into the likeness of his son. So don't forget what God has given to you. As we think about his Bible, as what he's given us here, he goes on in verse 3. He says, let not steadfast love, mercy, and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, he says, like a necklace. Bind them around your necks. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so that is important. What he's saying is adorn yourself with this chesed love. That he uses the word chesed in Hebrew in verse 3. They're called steadfast love. It's a faithful love. And so God's loving kindness, adorn yourself. That should mark you as a Christian. If God is there, you have prioritized God's word as a part of your life. It is on your heart. It's in your life. Adorn it. Bind it to you like a necklace. Around your neck and write it on the tablet of your heart. Now, that it's interesting because it could say, well, I could just memorize some verses, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not just talking about head knowledge. He's talking about heart knowledge. In other words, that you believe in this God with all your heart. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That you are to trust God with all your heart. You are to bind this to your heart, these commandments. He says, let your heart keep these commandments. He's talking about the commandments of God. And so it's generally true that people are more likely to be accepted. They will find favor. But if you look in verse 4, it says, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So fidelity brings favor and success in your following of God. Now, I love the quote. I thought it was interesting. Augustine, who said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it is not the gospel you believe, but yourself. You know, if you kind of play go fish with God, I'll take these cards, you throw those back. In other words, the things that you don't like about the Bible, you throw back into the pile. The things that you like, you keep them in your hand. That is not, you believe yourself, you don't believe God. You're not trusting God with all your heart. You're not prioritizing God's word. So let me encourage you today to bind them around your neck like a necklace. Adorn yourself with God's loving kindness. Fidelity brings favor, not only in success with God, and it says with man. It's generally true that people find acceptance and favor when they're faithful and true. Then in verse 5 and 6, the path of life is marked with trust. We've been talking about trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And so that's a very important thing to emphasize here when we think about where we're at. Do we know God? Do we trust God with all of our heart? When we think about all that God has done for us, it means I rely on Him. It means I completely trust in Him. I look to Him. I put my weight on Him. I base my life and circumstances on Him. Trust God with all my heart, which means I have to surrender my heart, right? Because my natural inclination, I don't know about you, but when the boat starts rocking and my knees start knocking and all that kind of stuff and it gets dark, when I get hit, it starts raining on my porch. I start to act on my own inclinations. I act on my feelings. And so I have to be careful at that time because I forget to go to God. So I have to surrender my own will to God's will and say, I know you know what you're doing here, God, but I want to take back the wheel for just a second. I want to fly the plane. But I have to be like the pilot in the storm. He has to trust the instrumentation. And he has to trust the tower, the one who's above the storm. Right? So do not lean on your own understanding. I think it's important for us to understand. What a great verse this is. Jeremiah 10, 23. I know the Lord, that the way, you can't read it real good up there. I can't read it myself. I know the way, the Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, and that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. In other words, it's not in us to direct our own steps. David Jeremiah said, life is a journey, and sometimes we have to walk through that journey. There are times when we feel like we are stepping into the unknown. Moments when we can't see what is ahead, even when we can't see the road, even when we don't understand, let me assure you, God knows the way. We've all heard, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I have to trust Him. My faith has to be anchored to God's word, His will. Hebrews 11:7 tells us, by faith Noah, warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that foundations, whose designer and builder is God. I can't rely on myself, right? I have to be careful. I can't lean on my own understanding. I don't think it means that we can never think. God doesn't want us to check our mind at the door, but I can't lean on myself because I know that I'm sinful. I know that I'm capable of reacting in a way that is not godly and not the way that God wants me to go. So I have to make sure I'm praying and staying in lockstep with God. I read a story of a woman who had finished her shopping and returned to her car to find four men inside. She dropped her shopping bags, drew a handgun from her purse, and with a forceful voice said, I have a gun, and I know how to use it. Get out of the car. Those men did not wait for a second invitation. They got out of there they ran like crazy. The woman, understandably shaken, quickly loaded her shopping bags and got into the car. She just wanted to get out of there as fast as she could, but no matter what she tried, she could not get her key into the ignition. Then it hit her. This isn't my car. She looked, and indeed her car was parked four or five spaces away. She got out, looked around to see if the men were near, loaded the bags into her own car, and drove to the police station to turn herself in. The desk sergeant, after hearing her story, nearly fell out of his chair, laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter where four men were reporting four men were reporting a carjacking by a woman with glasses and curly white hair, less than 5 feet tall, and carrying a large handgun. No charges were filed. We can all be like that, right? I don't know how many times I've tried to get in my car several times at the rec center where I go to work out. I come out, it looks like my car. I pull on the handle. I couldn't get it open. You know, you ever do that? Yeah, we're all like that. But we're like that too, right? With God, we may react, and we don't lean on God. We lean on our own understanding of things. And so the Bible tells us there are benefits to trusting in the Lord. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 describes the benefits. He says, those who hope in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit. So don't lean on your own understanding. He comes back to this again. He tells Solomon, his son, he says, don't be a wise guy. And why do I mean that? Verse 7, if you look at verse 7, he says, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You may not believe this, but sin hollows us out. Guilt, you carry it around after a while. It's like luggage. You don't go home. You don't go anywhere without it. And so it hollows us out. Notice it has an impact on your body. The Bible says, be not wise in your own eyes and fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your bones. How often do we find ourselves trying to work it out on our own? Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way to death. Sin taints our understanding. It hollows us out. I am putting my trust in the God who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-wise. He has good plans to guide us. He has a purpose for our life. But I have to trust him. I have to know him. I have to make his word a priority in my life, which means it's exclusive. So I have to trust God and lean not on my understanding. I have to trust him with all my heart. And in all my ways, I have to acknowledge him. He has good plans for me. He wants me to stay the course. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Meaning every area of your life. Your personal life, your family life, your friends, your work life, at school, wherever you're at. This morning, with your time today, when you got up, do you think about the Lord? You know, do you trust God with your life? At night, when you go to bed, do you think about it? David Guzik says, trusting God with all your heart means to honor and acknowledge him in all that we do. It's the choice to invite God into our everyday life and conduct. It is the practice of the presence of God in the regular, sometimes mundane things that happen every day. I'm talking with your dating life, with your single life, with your personal time, with your friend's time, all your time, 24/7, inviting God into those moments. Secondly, I want to say this, that prayer is the key in the morning and the deadbolt at night. Now, I came in here one time, and I'm going to share you an illustration with you that I was not having a good day. I came in after a Sunday, and I was feeling sorry for myself. I walked in here. I had no idea where I wanted it. I didn't know what God wanted for me. I needed to hear from God, and I just happened to open my Bible to where I was in the next chapter and verse, and it happened to be Jeremiah 6:16. It says in 6:16, this is what the verse was. I'm praying to God. I'm telling God before I even got in there, before I even sat down, I didn't want to come in here. I sat down with my head down, and I looked at this verse, and it says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient path, where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. You see, I came in here, I did not feel like stopping. I just wanted to go back in and go back to work and get to it on a Monday and then build another sermon and wonder. I'm telling God, I need a hug. You ever do that? I do that. If I need a hug, I tell God, I need a hug. And I was blank on what to do. And I had no clue whether God was listening to me. And it says, stand at the crossroads. And I thought about my kids. Every time I come to those crossroads, you have to cross. You're going to go right, left, or you can go straight. And then you got people going the other way. And you got to stop. And then you have to ask. He says, look. And ask for the ancient path. That really spoke to me. I don't know if it speaks to you, but the ancient path is God's word. Where the good way is, look for the good way. So we can ask God this. We can pray this. We can say, Lord, I want to know what the way is, the good way, because I don't know where to go. I don't know where to direct this church. I need help. I'd like to tell you I know everything, I've got it all together, but I don't. You see that on a regular basis sometimes. But what I'm saying to you is that I had to rely on God when I didn't know which way to go. I had to stop. And I so much want to just keep going and go in my own strength and not look back. But it says, ask for the ancient path. So I went in and I looked at the Bible, and this is the verse that plopped open to me. I was like, okay, God, I hear you. And then it says, ask where the good way is. But then it says something else. Walk in it. And then you know what this verse says? But they said, we will not walk in it. That's the fear of Solomon. That's the fear of every parent. That there won't be a continuance. They'll forget God's word and not make it a priority. They'll leave their Bible behind. The lamp that sits at the bedstand. The light to carry down the path of life. So when you don't know what to do, and not don't know where to go, you have God's word. You have the ancient path in your hand. You have the living word of God. You have the light of Christ in your hand. And he's for us. He intercedes on our behalf. And he wants us to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. And in all our ways, acknowledge him. And he will make straight your path, the path he wants you on. You understand? He, it's still in him, it's still coming from him. He's the one. We obey him. We walk in him. We fail sometimes. But that doesn't mean if you go into the garbage pen of your life and you fail and you end up out of bounds, get back in. You want a golf analogy? Hit the ball back into the fairway and keep going with him. He is faithful. He is loving. And he says, bind this around your neck and you will find favor with God and with men. You will find not only favor, you will find success. That's the path of life that God wants us to be on. That's the glory of God. He delights in faith. He delights in his people. He delights when one sinner repents and comes to him. He wants to put you and keep you on this path. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Trust him with all your heart. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. As we think about our own life, whether we're young or old, we may be beginning life. We all have been there. When we come to the crossroads, we know that your goal is to conform us into the likeness of your Son. That the only straight path is from the mountaintop, but we live in the valley where there's all kinds of things in the valley that we have to cross over. We have to traverse. Lord, help us to hold on to our Bibles and make your word a priority. Help us to trust in you and lean not on our own understanding. When we're young, we feel like we can always take care of things. But my friend, there's always going to be a time and there's going to be a day when you don't know what to do and when you can't do it. You'll need God. You'll need his light. Even in the mundane things, invite him into your life. My friend, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to come to him. And those who are here and have known Jesus for a long time, stay the course. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hear are the words of the benediction, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope. May you trust in him today. In Jesus' name. Amen.